I don't listen to opinions I don't ask for.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 9, Where the Hookers Grow. Yep, that's it. And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Dave, we don't use that word anymore.
Sorry.
Shame on you.
Yeah. It's where the hookers flourish. Come on, Dave. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Before we get into all of that, an announcement about an upcoming Again With This, episode 157. Can you believe it? We made it. It drops August 25th. Let's watch Luke Perry in his first episode of Oz.
Oh, my God.
That is season 4, episode 10, Conversions. He is once again playing a culty televangelist type, which is not the first or even second time he's done this on TV that we've talked about. It's going to be interesting. We'll have a link in the show notes, and you should join us for that discussion again with this podcast.com/club to join our Patreon, get on our Discord, and more.
Indeed. Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Michael stalks Megan to her parents' place at the hospital. Jane finds Michael, who spent the night there. He was dealing with Peter's gunshot wound, which we will get to. So she says, clip two.
Oh, well, I'm glad you stayed away because of something serious and not more of this Alex Bastion stuff.
What stuff? Wait a second. You slept with the man the night before our wedding. I mean, I can't forget that. I'm not going to dismiss it. In fact...
Honey, I know this is hard for you, but can you please just try to let it go? It has nothing to do with the present day.
Then why does it feel as fresh as that bullet hole in Peter? Look, I just need some time to think. We both do. And now we'll have our chance because I'm going out of town.
Oh, perfect. Where are you going?
Friends in trouble. It'll just be a couple of days.
Who?
Megan. I got a note that sounded suicidal. I got the impression that she was going back to her roots, which in her case would be a trailer park to do herself in, so I'm going to prevent that if I can.
Wow. Also, really? Fresh bullet wounds are not a thing, metaphorically. Who is writing this? It's like ChatGPT took over again. It's bad.
Also, like, you know, you're being very casual about this if you're actually concerned that she might die, you know?
Yeah.
Don't use that to try to win an argument with your fiance, maybe.
Yeah, especially over Alex Bastion.
Oh my God, yes. We'll get to his dumbass. Anyway, we cut straight from this trailer park talk to a cab, dropping Megan off at a stately mansion with horses all over the grounds, including on, like, the front lawn. Hey, it's that Stephen Gilborn is on the porch in a wheelchair and has no reaction as Megan approaches, calling him daddy. And a woman then appears in the foreground saying he had a stroke a few years back. And it's friggin' Shirley Jones. Guys.
Girl, what are you doing?
Cashing a check. But we will soon find out she is Megan's mother, Teresa. There is a case of Vaseline on the lens for her first shot. By the way, as you can see in the visual aids, it's real frayed, let's say. Teresa has prayed that wherever Megan was, she was all right, and Megan dodges by hugging her some more. And that night, walking around the stable, Megan tells Teresa she thought leaving home would free her, but she just ran into new problems. She figured the first thing Teresa would have asked was where she was, but Teresa already knows Megan was a prostitute, as she says, because, duh, they hired a private investigator. They were shocked. But Teresa assumes that Megan has given up that life because she's in a conservative wrap dress, I guess. I don't know. Hasn't kept tabs, so she's just guessing. Megan says her father, Victor, must have been devastated. And Teresa says he had his stroke an hour after the PI told him about her. But Megan shouldn't blame herself. She's home safe. That's all that matters. Okay, Mom. Damn.
Her delivery on that. You mustn't blame yourself. And then she all but looks at the camera like, it's so good. What a bitch.
Mm-hmm. So the next day, Teresa's at the end of the driveway getting her mail when she runs into Michael, checking a map for the Lewis family trailer he thinks should be here. Teresa tartly says he has found the Lewis family, but none of them has ever lived in a trailer park. And this is when Megan comes riding up on one of the fucking horses, obviously shocked to see him, much as he is shocked to see her on a horse. He explains what brought him there, but guesses his concerns were unwarranted. Teresa says he's trespassing, so Megan introduces him as her ex-husband, the doctor. So Teresa softens and invites him to lunch, although, you know, doctor doesn't seem like it's that fancy for this family, honestly.
No.
That night, Jane catches Amanda up on the whole Alex situation over dinner at Kyle's. Amanda exposits that Jane's old lover is one of the hottest designers in the world. Jane says one time doesn't make them lovers. And Amanda's been trying to sign this guy as a client for 2 years. Before Amanda can ask, Jane refuses to try to land him for Amanda because Michael would die. But Amanda would give Jane 25% of the gross on his account. And Jane's a little bit more interested after that. Back to the ranch, where Teresa is walking Michael around the grounds. Clip 3.
Oh, I love this spread, Mrs. Lewis. I mean, this whole way of life, it's very quiet, civilized. You see, I grew up in a family full of crazy Italians. And everybody was arguing and yelling and, you know, wearing their emotions on their sleeve.
Class difference, is that what broke up you and Megan?
Oh,
wow. Oh, 0 degrees.
I mean... I, like, the times on this show that they, like, tiptoe up to the line of someone saying something xenophobic about Michael's Italian heritage, it's like, it's always something like this where you're like, you can hear what they're not saying.
Yes.
But Michael explains, no, what broke them up was lies, specifically his. Teresa can tell Megan still listens to him, though, so she's hoping he will help her convince Megan to stay on the ranch. Michael wants whatever's best for Megan. Clip 4.
It's not hard to see why Megan fell in love with you.
Oh? Is the fact that I'm a successful dynamic doctor or my irresistible good looks?
The fact that you're from the other side of the tracks. That was always her type.
And there it is. The ethnic side of the tracks, I assume.
Yeah. I just so wanted this to go in a I was at the stud factory 10 years ago direction. We met in the champagne room. Don't you recall?
Yeah. Delightful. Please go to the visual aids to see the face he makes at this very
so
blatant.
That he's like, wow.
Yeah, it's great. So the next day, Jane wanders into a mansion and straight up to Alex, who is so unwelcoming that she must really regret the effort she made to put on a little spaghetti strap jumpsuit or something for their big reunion. She compliments his house and he's like, as you can see, we're very busy, but I guess she must really need this 25% because she keeps trying, even though he has not so much as like half smiled at her. Clip 5.
I just need a second. See, I work for Amanda Woodward Advertising, and, well, actually, I just started, and we have a lot of really good ideas for you.
I already have people for that. A whole division. Sorry you wasted your time.
Ow. Okay.
Great. Storyline over. All right.
My hamhead.
You have to continue. How a ham conquered fashion. Like, oh my God, no one cares. Like, who is making these calculations about giving these absolute wet ends more screen time?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Jane finally takes the hint and leaves, but of course, no one can really ignore an opening credits cast member for long, and Alex runs outside after her. Clip 6.
I'm sorry I was rude. This kind of thing happens to me a lot. People I know from the past showing up, trying to sell me something.
It's okay.
You look great, Jane. When you said my name and I turned, damn near took my breath away. You broke my heart, you know? And you chose Michael instead of me.
Oh, well, it was It was never supposed to be about that. I mean, we were just close friends.
We never should have crossed the line then. Even if it was just once.
Yeah, that was a mistake, crossing the line.
Yeah, I wish I was in the market for an advertising agency, but I'm not.
That's okay, I understand. But if you ever are...
Yeah, Amanda Woodward Agency. I'll make a note. Take care of yourself, huh, Jen?
Yeah, too.
I would love an interview with the sound person who had to deal with, like, this location, because it's like crunch, crunch, crunch every time someone moves anywhere at all. This gravel driveway.
There's a guy standing right next to him, glazing him with honey and sticking a pineapple into the side of his head. It was a fucking nightmare.
And then as she's leaving, crunch, 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 we see him lean on his Plymouth Prowler, because that's what was going on in cars at the time. And that was a signifier of someone with luxurious tastes, if you can fucking believe it. And
did not clock that. Well spotted.
You can see in the visual aids, it is, of course, purple, as I believe they all were. Good God. Ugh. Yeah, Darkwing Duck ass. Anyway, over to the ranch where Teresa is walking a doctor to the door after a house call for Victor. And then for some reason, she lets Michael walk him out, apparently not concerned that this might happen. Clip 7.
I understand it was stress that caused the old man to stroke, some sort of psychological trauma.
Is that what they told you?
Well, Michael's like, yes, but then the doctor just says he stays out of people's private affairs and Michael should too. And Michael takes us in as Teresa stares out the window at him, looking real worried. And that night, Megan plays the piano for Teresa, a harsh critic whose approval Megan is obviously still desperate for. Michael looks on with concern, then says he's coming from the local hospital. Teresa tells Megan to go make them some tea, but Michael stops her because Teresa owes her an explanation. And under duress, Teresa confirms Victor's stroke followed an aneurysm, and when it happened, he had known about Megan's profession for months. Teresa goes on to say she knows she was so hard on Megan that she left Megan with no choice but to leave home, and she regrets having made Megan hate herself so much. She prayed Megan would come home so Teresa could have another chance, and I guess she got it because... they hug. This is very unsatisfying, but fine. I don't want more of it, I guess.
I mean, if we must continue enduring Megan, could we not have what was promising to be a real V.C. Andrews fest with, like, people staring at each other from behind curtains?
Yeah.
No, we can't have nice things. It's season 7, so...
I want to know if Teresa knows about Josh the Pimp and if the PI told her Josh the Pimp is.
Can we get that PI to find Chris and send him back here? Because Chris, he's way more interesting than anybody else on the show right now.
It's very true. Boy. The next morning, Megan gives Teresa a warm goodbye hug on the porch, promising future visits in both directions. Prediction, we never see Teresa in L.A. Mm-hmm. Megan then kneels next to Victor and says he will always be her hero. And when she holds his hand, he caresses hers and tears up. And she claims she will make him proud of her. And I doubt it, but give it a shot. Also, nice try boosting Megan's profile by casting these two as her parents, but I still don't care. Sorry.
Yep.
Back in L.A., Jane perfunctorily apologizes to Amanda for not having been able to deliver Alex, but she did. He is in the conference room waiting for Jane to continue pitching him. He wanted an apology this important to be delivered in person. He tells her he was an ass. Jane says she was out of line, but Alex says she wanted something. She went after it. He would expect nothing less from her, and he is ready to listen to her ideas. Uh-oh, she has none. Jane cheerfully says that's all she and Amanda wanted, but he clarifies, just Jane tonight at his house, and her face falls. But she says she'll make it work, and he is probably still within earshot when Amanda swoops in and mocks Jane for having chosen Michael over Alex, which, like, I get it.
Yeah. Fucking no-brainer.
Amanda goes on. When Jane lands the account, she will have to explain to Amanda how she chose between these two dudes. Jane asks how she knows she didn't already close it, so Amanda says she was listening on the intercom, which I only mentioned since I assume it's going to be a plot point in some later episode. Amanda spying on people. That night, Michael calls Jane from the road to apologize for being such a jerk and say he's on his way back to town with Megan. Jane tensely says they need to talk, but Michael tells her to listen because he was a fool to jeopardize what they have over something that happened a long time ago. And they exchange I love yous, and then she hangs up so we can see what we already could have guessed. She is in the tacky glass brick living room at Alex's tacky house. And he heard the whole thing and comments that she probably should have told Michael where she was. But, you know, they're just talking business, she says. Speaking of, Alex is ready to sign to Amanda's agency with Jane in charge of his account. And they toast to second chances. This guy is not it. Like, I don't get how he even got this job.
He is absolutely the Brad Rowe. He's like the poor man's Brad Rowe. And Brad Rowe is like the poor man's everyone else.
Yeah.
So if you're the poor man's Brad, I mean, forgive me, Brad Rowe. I hope that you turned out to be a good person who's doing good work and everything's fine and you're not a Republican. But this guy is so, so bland. So bland.
Yeah. In fact, comparing him to Brad Rowe is an insult to Brad Rowe, honestly. Brad Rowe had his
I apologize to Brad Rowe and all of his airs and assigns.
Yes. It wasn't his fault he looked exactly like Brad Pitt. I mean,
no,
that's just why he doesn't have a career now, because Brad Pitt continued to look like Brad Pitt and still does to this day.
Yeah.
On to our A plot. In addition to fucking with Jane in the B plot, Amanda fucks up Peter and maybe gets fucked up by her brother-in-law. We open on Peter getting wheeled into an ambulance because, you know, he got shot. Amanda wants to go with him in the ambulance, and the detective on the scene is like, we have some questions for you, actually, because you shot a guy. And Kyle testily says they already explained they thought there was an intruder, but the cop just orders Kyle and Ryan to get lost, and Amanda confirms it is her gun, it is registered, and Peter is her ex-husband. Upstairs, an even more hostile Kyle is telling a uniform cop he doesn't know why Peter was there, but no, there was not any friction between him and Amanda. Much to our disappointment, by the way.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you for noting that.
In fact, Amanda was grateful to Peter because he just rescued her from a kidnapping, and the cop's non-reaction to this kidnapping reveal is very funny. Like,
yeah.
I always
enjoy
these moments.
Oh, right. I'm on a nighttime soap. Got it.
I always like these moments when it seems like the characters watch the show. So he's like, yeah, of course. That was last week. Anyway, Ryan breaks in to say the real question is why Peter was in the apartment. Like, dude, you've been here 35 minutes. Don't help. But that's when Kyle looks down to the courtyard and sees the detective leading Amanda off. And Amanda says she'll be all right and not, for instance, to call the criminal defense attorney that all of the complex residents have on retainer. And on that, it's actually crazy with all the long-term recurring characters who've, like, come in and out of the show. None of them has been a lawyer. Like, even 90210 figured out it would be handy to have a couple at various points. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the uniform suggests that Kyle follow Amanda to the station. Kyle snits that his keys are in the bedroom, which I don't know why they're not still in his pocket. He did not even use them earlier, but...
Yeah, what?
When he walks in, the diary is still lying open on the floor where Peter was. Much to consider. And at the hospital, Michael follows Peter into the ER. Jargon, 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 jargon. Dr. V is also there and leans over Peter. Clip 8.
I can't die without telling someone.
I don't understand.
Kidnap. Man of the kidnapping, I set it up. I wanted to be the one to save her. So I did it. I did it.
Was he conscious? Did he speak to you?
Tried. It was all mixed up. Just a lot of gibberish.
BP's falling. We're losing him.
You've been Ozealed. Dr. V is very bad at this. Very bad.
He's not great
at this. No, he's not.
Kind of can't believe he stayed in this role, honestly, because he's like real bland.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of this going around in season 7. Anyway, Michael springs into action to get Peter right to the OR. And after the credits, Peter wakes up post-op to find Amanda standing over his bed. If she's an angel, he's died and gone to heaven, he says.
Aw.
She apologizes, but she thought he was a burglar, which is how he finds out that she was the one who shot him. And he jokes that shooting first and asking questions later is her best quality. She says she feels bad enough. He jokes back. He's pretty sure he feels worse. And now everyone needs to know what Peter's doing there, she says. Here is his explanation. Clip 9.
Well, I was going up there to apologize for being a nuisance. Your door was unlocked and the lights were out, and I heard something. So, you know, your mind thinks of all kinds of things. I didn't know if the kidnappers were back. Anyway, I went in and... well, I never even heard the shot.
So you were protecting me, and I shot you.
Well, I understand. Okay.
What can I do?
It's just nice you being here.
I mean, this is asinine, but like, at least they're having little moments together.
Yeah.
They're cute. I mean, and like, now they're even after he tried to kill her in season 2.
Right.
Does anyone else remember that? No. But yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous, and there's absolutely no way she should fall for that, but there's absolutely no way she should still be with Kyle. Hello.
Yeah. I mean, we have so little to cling to. Like, it's just...
I know.
It's sporting of them to give us this.
It is.
Because they didn't have to.
It's just the word I was looking for.
In the hall, Amanda runs into Kyle and Ryan and repeats Peter's explanation about someone else having broken in. And Ryan looks dubious, as he should, as Kyle brings up the journal, which was lying next to where Peter fell. Amanda says that's probably where she left it, which, like... in the middle of the bedroom floor, open? Were you lying on the rug like a teenager reading it like, with the stereo playing? But anyway, then clip 10.
Totally.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Oh, hey. You guys haven't met Amanda. This is my brother Ryan.
Hey, nice to meet you.
He showed up at the club last night out of the blue and we were coming home to see you.
Oh, God, what you must be thinking. First time you see me, I'm holding a gun.
Oh, well, I think nothing less from a wife of my brother, so...
I mean, here again, apparently Ryan has been watching this television program. Good job.
Amanda tells Kyle she's going to stay and make sure Peter's all right, and Kyle does a very bad job of pretending that he is fine with that. And later in his office at the jazz club, Kyle tells Ryan that he's broke and in debt for the ransom money. Taking Kyle's ledger, Ryan offers to help with the cash flow, but it might take a minute. Kyle assumes Ryan has to get back to being God's gift to Wall Street. Nice exposition. But Ryan's been out of work for 6 months because he found out his partner was swindling their clients with fake accounts and he blew the whistle. And that guy's in prison, but now no one will deal with Ryan, which, like, why?
Right. Also, I doubt that this is the extent of Ryan's involvement, but
sure.
I guess we'll see.
Great point. Kyle thinks Ryan should move, maybe. And Ryan says, well, if Kyle's okay with it, he might move to LA, actually, because the two of them are basically all that's left of their family. And I guess we'll find out what that basically stands for. Kyle offers Ryan his old place at the complex. Ryan is surprised Kyle would be okay having him so close. And then Kyle fires up the answering machine. Amanda's staying at the hospital for a while longer. Ryan notices Kyle's irritation because it is visible from space, but Kyle confirms that, no, he does not like Peter. And at the hospital, Lexi stops on her way in to see Peter to needle Amanda in the hallway. She's surprised they haven't locked up Amanda yet since they locked Lexi up for late taxes, which, like, if you say so, we never saw any evidence that that occurred other than you getting cuffed. But... when Amanda tries to walk away, Lexi follows, asking if Amanda's there out of guilt or love. Amanda says Lexi is the one who's in love with Peter, and when she tries to walk away again, clip 11.
Peter's your trophy, isn't he, Amanda? I mean, that's why you keep him in your life, right? He feeds your ego. Forget that you're married to a great guy. You just need every man to be in love with you, right?
What? Huh?
Okay. I mean, Lexi, he's played by Jack Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people like, this is why people like art. This is why people do color therapy. They like to look at things that are soothing and pretty. I'm just saying.
Yeah, That's a great point.
Yeah. He can really wear a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
Is there a question here, counselor? Just ask it.
Well, Amanda doesn't listen to opinions she doesn't ask for and directs Lexi to Peter's room. And then we're in said room as Peter demands that Dr. V keep his confession to himself. Lexi gets to the door just in time to overhear Peter say Amanda can't find out what he told Dr. V, but not the thing that he told him. So then Lexi enters, drags Dr. V for doing a bad job as a shrink with Peter, waits for Dr. V to leave, then asks if he was the doctor who convinced Peter to dump her. And Peter tries to get rid of her, but she wants to know what his near death was like. He says it was less like approaching a bright light than being flushed down a toilet. And Lexi says, clip 12.
Well, you know what they say. Flush twice, it's a long way to hell.
Who says that?
Like, it is more like fucking hell when he's decompensating in 2001 A Space Odyssey with every line.
Yeah.
Flush twice, it's a long way to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Said no one ever before or since.
Yes. It's like magnetic poetry minus the part where it might be poetic. It's just insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. It's just, yeah, word barf, totally.
So Lexi doesn't even know why she's there with Amanda around to comfort him. So she decides the flowers are going to look better in her dining room and leaves with them, but pauses in the hall when she sees Dr. V still there and gets an idea. And the next day, Ryan finds Amanda in the hall at the hospital to take over Kyle's lease and then keeps digging. Clip 13.
You know, I feel like I really wandered into a wasp's nest around here. This Peter guy, he sounds like real trouble. An ex-husband living in the building, I mean, isn't that asking an awful lot of Kyle?
Here's a little advice. You'll last a lot longer around here if you keep your nose out of what's not your business.
I'm sorry. It's just I saw how worried Kyle is over all the time you're spending with the guy.
Kyle knows why I'm here. We've discussed it, and he's fine with it.
Amanda, I'm not trying to start anything. I really care about my brother. And I saw everything that went down between him and Taylor.
I am not Taylor. This is a brand new marriage. You mess with it, and our relationship, yours, mine, and Kyle's, will be anything but one big happy family.
Fair.
Like, yeah.
I really care about my brother. Oh, really? Because I didn't know you existed until the day before yesterday. So,
yeah.
Evidence.
Also, since you're going to be on his side, why don't you just be over there and shut up?
Yeah. I don't think this guy's a great actor, but his take as Amanda stalks off is very Estesian, as you can see in the visual aids, because I get it.
Yeah, it is good casting. I'm with you. I don't think he's great, but he's well cast. They look enough alike. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Rob Estes is also, no offense, to someone whom we have enjoyed a cameo from.
The knuckle biter. Yeah.
He's not so great either, honestly.
Silent films. Yeah, so, I agree.
Then we're watching sexy feet and legs that turn out to belong to Lexi loitering in Dr. V's doorway. There's no one else she can turn to about her crippling love for Peter. And Dr. V's been such a help to Peter, she hoped he could help her too. And he's willing to help her if she makes an appointment, but they can't talk here at Peter's hospital, she says. But maybe they could talk over dinner at Shea Marina tomorrow night. And I feel like there's probably an ethical issue with him treating both of them, but that does not come up.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not made explicit that he sucks at this, and that's why she can exploit that ethical loophole. It's just like, there's absolutely no way that we would believe that this guy would go for this.
Yeah.
And this is a very attractive person who nevertheless has no charisma.
Yeah.
Like, that she's like, you know, you can practically hear the noir saxophone like right behind her in the doorway. And it's like, and?
Yeah.
She's just so tiresome. This was a huge miscalculation on the part of the show.
Yep. So when Amanda gets home later, Kyle is fooling around with the pieces on a chessboard. LOL. As though.
Yeah.
Coldly accepts her kiss when she says how nice it is to have someone waiting when she gets home. Directly asked what his problem is, he says he knows she left the jazz club an hour ago, so she shrugs that she brought Peter some takeout, but that was her last visit. Kyle says something Ryan said struck a nerve, and as she rolls her eyes, he repeats it, that their marriage is in constant turmoil. Amanda thinks it keeps life interesting and she doesn't appreciate opinions that aren't asked for, which like twice in one episode, guys, cut one. But she says Ryan seems full of unwanted opinions because he also had plenty to say about her relationship with Peter when she saw him at the hospital. And she knows Ryan is Kyle's brother and they just reconciled. So she drops it to go take a shower, leaving Kyle to go across the way to Ryan's and yell at him for what he said to Amanda, opening the door for a lot of exposition about this character who just came into existence 4 days ago. Clip 14.
I care what happens to you, Kyle. I see something I don't like, I'm going to comment on it.
No, don't you mean you blow the whistle? See, you love it when there's trouble in my life, and when there isn't any present, you stir some up.
I thought we were over this.
Yeah, so did I till I talked to Amanda. Come on, Ryan. You say that you care, but I still think you got some kind of grudge against me, and I don't think it's got anything to do with Taylor.
Fine. You're right. It's this attitude that you're giving me right now, this big brother crap. Like somehow my opinions aren't valid. No, it's like somehow I don't measure up.
Come on, you're butting into my life.
Oh, right, and Marines don't do that kind of thing, do they? No, you guys are tough. You eat nails.
No, come on, God, not that Marine stuff again. You really think I care about that?
Dad sure did, didn't he? And we all know how I disappointed him. It's not easy coming from a family of war heroes, Kyle. Dad in Korea, you in Desert Storm, and me, the pansy who thought, you know, maybe I'll just go to college instead of joining up.
You know what? I don't have time for this family crap right now. Ryan, you still got issues to work out. That's your problem. When you make it my problem...
Look, forget it. This isn't gonna happen. Fine, I'll be out of here first thing tomorrow. Good.
All right, bye.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know, dude. I saw you in the opening credits, so I'm pretty sure you're not leaving, actually. But,
Yeah. But fine either way. Don't really care.
No. I can't engage with you now. It's so late in the run. Like, you're new. You have four characteristics. Whatever.
That's generous.
Yeah, true. So when Kyle leaves, we see Amanda has watched him come out, still all mad. And the next night, Ryan stops Amanda in the courtyard to return Kyle's keys and his books. They'll have 6 more months of solvency if they stick to his business plan. He's about to catch a plane back to New York, but he wanted to say goodbye to Kyle first, but not enough to go to the jazz club and say it to him, which relatable. And as Ryan walks out, Amanda tries to stop him, but he says he should have kept his mouth shut. His problems with Kyle go back way before Amanda or Taylor came along. Ryan will be distant but civil from now on. And Amanda says it was very important for Kyle to see him again, but Ryan thinks if she asked him now, he would say it was a mistake. Amanda's sure that Kyle needs family and there has to be a solution to their issues. So will he come up for wine and let her talk him into staying? Don't try this hard. So then Lexi and Dr. V, we heard, were supposed to go to Shea Marina, but the establishing shot is clearly our old friend Eclipse.
Oh, hey, buddy.
The only other restaurant in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Dinner is over. Lexi is being her usual weird self. Clip 15.
Doctor, let me thank you for the most liberating evening of my life.
Why are you like this?
My life.
My life.
She's so bad. She is bad.
Yeah. Seeing more of her really highlights how bad she actually is.
Yeah. She has very good hair, though.
True.
I'm trying to throw in something positive. It's not her fault that they let her do this.
It's true. She wants to know how he got to be so smart. Well, he lived a lot. She guesses that means he's divorced and he confirms it and that it took a long time. Those years weren't wasted if he can help someone like he helped Lexi, she says. And she kisses him on the cheek, then asks him up to her place for a nightcap. He clearly wants to, but says they're over the line already and gives her another doctor's card. And back at the complex, Kyle is shocked to come home and see Amanda and Ryan sitting close on the couch with wine. Kyle tensely says it's good the two of them patch things up, and Amanda adds that she gave Ryan a job at the agency since he's great with numbers and will need an income to pay her rent, and glad to see the shooter's tradition of just giving people jobs for whatever lives on.
Sure.
Ryan then says he wasn't going to accept unless Kyle said it was okay. So Kyle caves and gives him a weird left-handed shake. And they're all going to be one big happy family, like Amanda said before, but not sarcastic this time. And the next day, Kyle shows up in Peter's hospital room as Peter is packing to leave. Peter thanks Kyle for letting Amanda visit so much. Gross. Kyle says Amanda does what she wants, but in a way that lets us all know he wishes that she didn't. And then Kyle leans in close to ask what Peter was doing in their bedroom that night. Clip 16.
I mean, I can understand going in to investigate, but to make it all the way into the bedroom. You know, if the kidnappers were there, how come you didn't see them leave? And the other question is, why were they there? They got the money already. You figured they'd be in another country by now.
I don't know what to tell you, Kyle.
The journal was right there, you know. It's right where you fell.
So what are you saying, that they were after the journal? It doesn't make any sense.
It's my point exactly. None of this makes any sense.
Yeah!
Yeah!
You're right!
No shit, there.
Anyway, Peter doesn't crack. And in the hallway, they run into Lexi. She calls them both girly whipped, which between that and pansy earlier, it's like, whoa, someone's thesaurus got a workout. But when Peter tells her to shut up, she warns him that pretty soon he may be crawling back to her, begging for forgiveness. Clip 17.
And like the Roman emperors, it'd be my thumb with all the power. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up or thumbs down.
What the fuck?
What, like, the fuck?
She's acting so weird. They have to have dialogue where Peter's like, I don't know what it is either. Even though Peter and Kyle were just like basically trying to kill each other with their minds, like, 30 seconds ago would be like,
they're both like, what the, yeah, oh my God. So weird.
So, of course, Lexi is there to see Dr. V. She is a wicked woman who should be locked up for what she's about to do, she says, which is try to seduce Dr. V. She doesn't care about his doctor-patient nonsense, and she knows he wants her to. Clip 18.
I just needed to be free. Free of Peter. And now I am. You see, he told me.
He told you? He told you what?
What he did. What he confessed to you. God, it sickens me how sick he is.
Oh, it sickens me, too. I just can't believe he put that much power in your hands.
Yes, but it's freed me, Doctor. It's made me see what a louse he really is.
And you're not going to the police?
I thought about it. Yeah. But do you really think that they would do anything?
Oh, God. He'd go to jail for years. I mean, to arrange a phony kidnapping, to put Amanda in jeopardy, to collect an actual ransom? He'd get life.
All so he could be the rescuer and save the day.
Oh, boy. Dr. V, come on now.
Fucking Visconti.
So.
Why?
He leans in for another kiss, but Lexi gets up to save him from himself. And his reaction to, like, wait, what? You're going to leave me here like this is kind of funny. And then Kyle is walking Peter to his door and warning him that he will have more questions soon. Peter's like, ooh, but alone, he staggers into his bedroom and confirms that all the cash is still there in the briefcase that he hid under his bed. And then the phone rings. It's Lexi in the tub listening to Peter panic because she is not identifying herself before hanging up and gloating. And that's where we leave things. Really not happy that Lexi is having such a large role in the proceedings this season thus far.
No, me neither.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Shirley Jones.
She is very funny.
I wish that this were the beginning of a longer arc, but she was clearly making a meal of it, and I appreciated it, especially in contrast to certain other members of the cast.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Amanda because she managed to dominate everybody, even though she shot someone at the end of the last episode, and everyone's just like, well, Amanda's going to Amanda, basically, and I kind of agree with them.
Yeah, same.
least valuable player. Why don't you go first this time?
Visconti.
Oh!
Don't let this happen, bro. Don't let this happen.
No, it's true. I'm going to say Lexi because she really is so irritating. Like, I just can't handle her scenes.
It should really be the extremely drunk writers who are giving her this dialogue and the directors who are doing nothing to help her.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
It's thumbs down.
Of my life. Why? So bad.
Fuck my life.
Next time on Again With This, more of this shit. Michael tests Jane. Ryan pursues Megan. Peter refunds the ransom. And Amanda commits a Brady violation. Our visual aids commit all sorts of retinal violations. But if you feel strong, they're available for every episode of this podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. We're on Blue Sky at Again With This. We're on Instagram /againwiththispodcast. You can call or text us anytime, 210-920-4699. And get extra episodes and access to the Discord at againwiththispodcast.com/club. I'm Imperial Thumbs Down, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Liberating Evening, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And it's just nice, our producer David T. Cole being here. Talk to you next time.
Get out of here!